God's call to service in our lives. The Lord certainly shows the way for us when Jesus came. He came not as a king, bossing people around, that's for sure. He came as a servant, and even today as a King of Kings, He serves us so much more than we serve Him. Every day gives us the breath of life, gives us some food to eat, gives one another, and plus many opportunities. So serving is a wonderful expression of love for God by loving other people. And I wanted to share a little bit this morning about serving, especially serving as a group of people sent out a bit from this particular church. You know, if it wasn't for October 31st, that particular date in history, you and I wouldn't be gathering together here to serve. The world would be much different, a place. First of all, my title would be different. I would be called Father Bob. Okay, that has a nice ring to it, I think. And I probably would have spent the weekend, if it wasn't for that date in history, hearing all of your sins. And that would probably take quite a while. Not because of the number of... I see an amen there. Not because of the massive rebellion in hearts, just because there's so many. If I were to do that, I'd probably have a sense, boy, even though I'm doing this, it's an important activity. You know, only Christ could forgive sins. Have that draw in my heart. As a faithful priest, I would probably point you to Christ through the sacrament especially and say to receive Jesus has to do with this bread, this communion bread. And you would really be relying on me at that point because only I could consecrate that bread in such a way so that you might receive Christ. Only I could do that. And there was a time in history where God brought about a reformation in the church. And it's called Reformation Day that a lot of churches observe. October 31st is really a bit of a kickoff of remembering how the Reformation began. And churches began to spring up alongside the Catholic Church and spread the gospel. And what happened, essentially, there was a Reformation that ended up blessing the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. And so many good things have happened since then. But the gospel of who Jesus was rediscovered among people. And essentially, who Jesus was in the hands of clergy was passed on to the average person in the world in such a direct and powerful way that it, of course, changed churches forever and changed history forever. Salvation would no longer be just through what the priest could do for you. But now you could go directly to Christ and have faith in Him. And without my help, necessarily, go to the Lord and say, Lord, You be my Savior. I receive You into my heart. And the Bible was rediscovered. It was passed on to people in the average walk of life, so sometimes we don't take advantage of that. But that was a big change. It took place October 31st, 1517. Got the ball rolling. And something else was rediscovered in that time also during the Reformation of God's people. And that was the idea of what ministry was or what service to God was. It used to be that ministry and service to God was only what the priest and the clergy did. We did the ministry. I don't know what you all did, but that's the way it was set up. And during the Reformation, what happened was ministry as an act of service to God, again, went to the person and went out of the churches on into every calling in life. And what was known as the Lord's work, just in the hands of the clerics, became the Lord's work in the hands of anybody who would believe in Christ. And so God's work was multiplied in that way, in such an effective manner. And we can see this in different scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, for example, Peter says, hey, you're a royal priesthood. I don't know if you thought of yourself as Father Joe or Father whoever. That you have that commission from the Bible as someone who believes in Christ. That's your calling, a royal priesthood. Paul wrote in Colossians, whatever you do, do it as serving the Lord and not just people. Because Paul said, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So there you're serving Christ. Just like it was traditionally thought only people in church work would do. And what does that mean for you in the everyday life? That means this. As you're called by God to serve, and that word vocation came out of the Reformation. We know what the vacation is. We like those. But vocation is calling from God to serve Him in your everyday work world. And that work is a gift from Him. And He said, and what it means is this, whether you work in a factory or whether you work in construction or whether you're a pastor, you are serving the Lord, doing His work. Whether you work on computers or work repairing things or whether you work as a missionary, you're in full-time Christian service. And it opened up the door again for the Lord to be known in everyday life like it never was before. It was previously just reserved, you know, for just a couple of folks in church-type ministry. But now it was for everybody. And what an opportunity to serve Christ then, you and I have. We get to do God's work. You're in full-time Christian service, you might say. And you are ordained. Pastor Doug Coleman experienced ordination while he was with us. Set apart to preach, and did that well. You're ordained, set apart to serve God where you're at. I know churches who have ordination services every Labor Day weekend. And they don't, that's not because somebody's going to be a preacher or a missionary. It's to ordain people to where they work and serve God. And that's a great calling each one of us has. And I know churches too, in their bulletins, they'll have Norwin Alliance Church or whatever, and they'll have the phrase, 250 ministers on staff. Think, wow, that must be a pretty big church. But what it means is everybody is a minister, because minister means servant, servant of Christ. You have one pastor who's supposed to be helping the rest of the ministers, and he's supposed to be a minister also. He's not the resident boss, you know. He shepherds. And so if you see yourself as a servant of Christ, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. What a heart you'll get. And see life's work as a holy vocation. That's an opportunity to have a servant attitude like Christ did. And your work would be as every bit as important as, for example, Doug and Naomi Ord. They go all the way to Columbia to tell somebody about Christ. Or you go all the way to Walmart or Target or wherever you work to tell somebody about the Lord there. Now, if we don't see ourselves as full-time Christian servants, we get our relationship with the Lord mixed up. And I think we throw Him a curveball a lot of time in our relationship with Him. Use an example if we could relate to this. Let's say I want to train you in life's lessons and just be a part of your day, point you to the Lord and how you could work for Him. So I say, I'm going to spend a week with you. See if I can get to do this maybe sometime. I'll spend a week with you. And just be your teammate the whole week. I don't know how many would sign up, but let's say I go to your home, and everywhere you go, I go. Okay? You go to the kitchen, I go to the kitchen. Get to be with you. You go watch TV, I watch TV. You go to work, I go to work. You go and play, I go play. You go to school, I go to school. All week long. And we have minimal conversations. Sometimes you appreciate me being there. Sometimes you ignore me. That's all right. And then you see me on Sunday morning. Pastor Daniels. You begin to sing to me. Pastor Daniels, Pastor Daniels, Pastor Daniels. And I'd say, hey, we could be working together all week, you know. Sometimes we treat the Lord like this. And what we think is His work. He would like to work with us all the time and also be together with Him with the people when we gather. The Bible says, remember, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. So be thankful for that ordination. And know that when we serve, we are more like Christ serving than when we are being served. More blessed to give than receive, Jesus said. And followers of Jesus, we've always had a hard time serving because we think maybe somebody else should do that. Let the world serve us for a change. Now, the Lord wouldn't say that. You go serve other people. And James and John were followers of Jesus. They had a hard time with the service thing. They wanted to be Jesus' number one and number two followers. First and second ranked. Before they had all these rankings, you know, we like. And so they said, how about if we're number one and number two to your right and left hand? Jesus. Peter was strangely silent at the time. He's probably smiling, thinking, guys, got yourself in big trouble now. But the other 10 were mad about that. Why do they want to be in charge next to the Lord? And you know what the Lord said? He said, hey, you know how it is in the Gentile world. That's where you and I live. We live in the Gentile world. This is not the New Jerusalem yet. So we live in the Gentile world. He said, you know how it is that those who are in authority rule it over others. Do that with a bit of a boss mentality, you know. We all want to be the boss. The preacher wants to be the boss all the time. You better listen. And he said, you know how that works in the Gentile world. He said, something surprising, Ed, but that's not to be so with you. He said, because whoever wants to really have a great impact, whoever really wants to be important, go and serve. Go and serve, he said, because, he pointed to himself, the Son of Man, he said, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for each one. And I think that's the highest motivation for us to serve, is what the Lord does for us and did for us at the cross. I used to be a little bit embarrassed because I'm a quieter person about saying something about God or Jesus in public. I don't know if I should speak about him very much. Of course, I want to show his love more than speak only. But then I'm thinking, if one of you gave your life for me, literally died to save my life, would I be shy about that? I say, well, here's so-and-so, you know, they actually saved my life, but I'd be wild. Just let me tell you a little bit about the one who saved my life. I'd be so thankful, I'd be willing to serve. That's our motivation. Christ is the servant king. We are glad to serve also, instead of just being served all the time. We're used to being served in our world. I think of the experience of, for example, going to a restaurant, how much we're served just by walking into a restaurant where you sit down. Somebody greets you at the door. Hello. Can I help you find a seat? Let me find a seat for you. They give you a relatively freshly cleaned booth or chair, just cleaned for you. Have a seat. Someone comes. Can I pour you what you want to drink? I get 10 things you could pick from. Here's a menu. You could have one of 50 items on the menu. We'll cook it just for you. Bring you the food. Serve, you know. And then my response sometimes is, I drank my iced tea and they don't come back and fill it quickly enough. Barry, more iced tea. I'll take 50 cents off your tip. We have a King of England attitude. Serve me. I'm here to be served. And that's not the Jesus way. I think that's just Bob Evans, too. You know, you don't have to go out to a fancy. You go out to another place, you get served more. They'll park your car for you, open your door for you. But to know to be served is one thing. But to serve like Christ would serve. Maybe when you go to the restaurant, you could pile your dishes up a certain way. So when the next person comes, they have an easy time cleaning it off, you know. Doesn't look like Hurricane Katrina went through your table there. Total mess. But desire to serve. And it would be great if every believer saw themselves serving out in the world, but also have a call to serve when you gather. That's every pastor's dream. Pastor Rick Warren, we're reading his book, you know, Purpose Driven Life. You know what he does with his church? This is scary. In order to be a member, you have to serve somewhere when the church gathers. You either have to be an usher, or you have to help gather things up after church. You have to be a greeter, sing in the choir, work with children. Somewhere you got to serve. And so you know what he does? He has renewed membership every year. That's another biggie. If you're a member, you have to renew your membership every year. I don't know how good that would go over. But that's his desire. And I think everybody's desire, every pastor's desire, is that for the honor of God and for the health of people, everybody who comes to a church feels like, hey, I know where I serve, and that's good for me. And I've had positive and negative experiences with that as a Christian. I remember the first time I was asked to serve as a Christian, one of the first times was in Vacation Bible School, to be an assistant director of Vacation Bible School. And I never even went to Bible school. So I was drafted. Just do what we tell you, they said. Very boring week. They said, you just supply things for people when they need them. Stood around all week with my hands in my pocket. So we ran out of scissors. Can you find us scissors? Okay. Ran out of paste. Go buy more paste. Okay. That's all I did. So I'm never doing that again. Next year at Bible school, I said, put me in the kitchen. That's where the action is. That's where the food is. And they said, your job in the kitchen is to pour the lemon blend. We were big on lemon blend back then. And go find out how many kids are in each room. Pour the lemon blend into cups. Take it around. Tell you what, I find my passion. To serve there was so much better. Get to see the kids. Get to give them something they like. You know, I was the best lemon blend pourer in that church. And it's the difference between finding where the Lord wants you to serve and just doing things through trial and error. It's okay to serve and maybe not have a good experience. But keep serving till you find where, boy, I know I can be of help here. And it's not just so you have a good feeling. The Bible says each has received a gift for the common good. I'm actually helping somebody out when you serve. So ask for God's call in your life to serve when the church gathers. Because you'll find a lot of fulfillment in church life when you do. Even you may say, I can't sing and I can't be an usher because I gab too much and nobody would be able to get in the sanctuary. Or I can't work with children. I'm too clumsy or yell too much. Know that God has a place for you. And to be able to say, Lord, help me serve somewhere. And in a way that honors you. Even if it's, Lord, the only way I'm going to serve, I know, is to come to church and invite somebody else. I'll never forget the people who invited me to church. That was the best serving they could have done for me ever. They could have washed my car for a month. Wouldn't have blessed me so much as inviting me to worship God. You could do that. Coming and praying for somebody else in the room. You can do that. You don't need the pastor to call you up and put you on an official assignment like that. You serve. And know too, you serve when you gather, but you're serving when you go. If you don't serve in a particular role. If you're a Christian, you're serving Jesus throughout the week. How important is that? And to have a mentality and realize how well you're being, you can serve and people are serving you. This morning, for example, you came to church. Someone cleaned in between services. Someone turned the heat up. I didn't turn the heat. It's warm. It's safe in here. Somebody put the lights on. Somebody handed you a bulletin. Somebody's watching ages 4 and above in junior church. People prepared to sing. Gals prepared to give that message. People were preparing the music. There's fellas up there with the PA and putting the words on the board. And people were serving so much to honor God and for the common good. And sometimes we come into a church like the restaurant thing and we think, that church didn't meet my needs. And how ridiculous we are when we don't realize we just want to be served. Jump in to serve. And you'll find great fulfillment there. And ask the Lord to work in you. You're shaped for a certain serving way. You can serve the Lord in a way that no one else can. By His good work in your life. He shines through you like He can't shine through the person next to you. And to give an example of a servant heart in closing, tell the story of Henry Nouwen, who was a good Christian fellow. He served as a professor of Bible or ethics at Harvard University. Very important job. He loved the Lord. And there are people in higher education who are committed to Christ. So he has the job of teaching about the Lord at Harvard University. Professor Nouwen, Dr. Nouwen. And he does a great job. Writes all kind of books that people go to seminary, read and everything. And one day he's enjoying that, but he says, you know, I have a burden in my heart and a passion in my heart for the severely disabled who can't think for themselves. Severely mentally disabled. And he said, I just feel like I should be working in that field. So he resigns his position at Harvard. He goes and works at an institution for people who cannot function by themselves in society, and so they're helped on a daily basis, just do basic things you and I take for granted. Put their socks on, how to get to the cafeteria, how to eat properly with a spoon, and some basic literacy skills that they have to learn just to be able to function. And he says he loves serving God that way. And his whole heart is in it. And he doesn't write any more books. He's not interviewed by anybody, you know, quoted in any magazines. Professor Harvard University said this, that, and the other. He's serving because God gave him a heart to serve and a calling that he found. And people wondered about him. They said, but is he communicating with all the gifts God gave him? And the article who rediscovered him said this. Yeah, he's communicating. He's communicating love very effectively. He's communicating Jesus real effectively. He's communicating about heaven to those who might have been passed by and not heard much about the good news. And God is using him. And I think you and I could see ourselves in his shoes. Lord, be glad to be a servant of yours. And send me where the need is. Thank you. God will put the passion in your heart. Nobody has to wake you up and say, go serve in this area. You'll want to do it. It'll be like Pastor Jeff used to say, it'll be like falling off a log. It'll come like it's supposed to happen for you. And then God will bless you. Martin Luther, who helped start the Reformation, your calling, said this, a Christian is a dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Most of us would rather be heard, you know, and make sure we get our input on every decision that comes down the pike. Servants don't care about that. Servants want to serve. Just let me serve and I'll be happy. That's their attitude. Christ came as a servant. And knowing he serves us every day, could we serve him back? Some here today, would you serve Christ by giving him your heart? The King of Kings gave his life for you. Would you give your life for him? I think it would take a servant heart to surrender to Christ. He'll help you with that if you receive him this morning. Let's pray together and ask God to work in us. Dear Lord, as God Almighty, we thank you so much. You didn't come with a club in your hand to straighten us out. You came with a towel on your hand to wash our feet. And you came to give your life for sinners and rise again. Father, I pray that this morning, if there's anybody who never received Christ into their heart, they would say, Jesus, you're the greatest servant who ever lived. Come into my life. Lord, I want to serve you by surrendering my heart to you. And Father, let your Holy Spirit work in those hearts who are saying, make me a believer today, a child of yours, dear Lord. And let your Holy Spirit just welcome that one to the fellowship of servants. And Father, for each child of yours here, give us that Christ-like heart to serve thank you for the privilege of serving. When we don't serve, Lord, we are miserable. We feel not effective. So give us that calling in our hearts each day of the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If just an invitation for any here today who may have never received the Lord. You know, sometimes you need help doing that by saying, well, would somebody pray with me? Would somebody give me a Bible? I don't want to leave just walking out the door and being confused about eternity. So if you feel like you want to receive the Lord today and let Him make you a servant of His, acknowledge Him as a king who is a servant king, you're welcome to come forward at the closing song and just kneel and be before the Lord, and someone would be glad to pray with you. So let's stand together and sing about being a servant.